for this opportunity, Lord Jesus, and just thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to go online. I think I've got it right. Hopefully it's not sideways. Good morning. Good morning, guys. And we'll just say good morning to our folks online. So I think it's on, so I think we're good. So today will be more of a reflection and not so much as an exposition of Scripture. So I'll be sharing how God's truth in Scripture has been applicable in my life. So we're going to open up with Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 1 through 16. So if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's word. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to the place he would later to go, he later received his inheritance. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So let's pray. God, thank you for your word and truth that you've given us. We ask that you open our ears to hear what you're speaking for us today. In your name, amen. So the original sermon that I started with was an echo of what my mom has been telling people lately, or within the past couple of months. With everything going on in this country, you know, there's been a lot going on in our world, especially this virus going around. There's a lot of fear, and she keeps telling people that God will either protect us from it, bring us through it, or bring us home. And it's pretty straightforward, especially when you read it. Sounds great on paper. As I prepared the sermon back in July, August, everything was coming together for the most part, and I had my sermon almost all written until the impending storm back in August. See, when I was a teenager, I lived in Homestead, Florida, and I went through a Category 5 hurricane. I know the destruction that the wind can cause. I've seen it firsthand, and I've heard the horror stories that go with it. Anytime there's a thunderstorm or a threat of a tornado, my mind automatically goes into panic mode. And that is where I was on the day of this storm. I was so fearful about an impending storm that I actually had to call my doctor's office to see if I can get some anxiety medicine, which I hadn't taken in a few years. Of course, my doctor happened to be on vacation, so they couldn't help me. So I was on the verge of tears, and I had to head into work. So on my way into work, I was trying to review my sermon and knew, at that point, I couldn't preach something that I couldn't apply. So at that point, I was on the verge of tears, on the verge of a panic attack, and I didn't have a sermon anymore because obviously I couldn't preach something I couldn't apply and I was unable to get medication to help calm my fears. I was in quite a conundrum. So there I was on my way to work, about a 20-minute drive. I had worship music going and a battle going on in my mind. My mind was in a state of panic. My spirit was in a state of panic. I was also on the verge of tears once the doctors told me they couldn't fill my prescription for me. So at that point, I was only a few minutes away from work. And I was listening to worship music, because I usually do that in my car. That's the best time just to get into God's presence. So as I was going along, the thought or question popped into my head. Is God who he says he is? Or I can also word it, do I have faith enough to believe that God is who he says he is? He either is or he isn't. So in Hebrews 11:1, it gives us the definition of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So if God is who he says he is, do I trust God enough to say, okay, God, you're in control of this storm, and whatever happens will happen. But no matter what, you are in control. When God called Abram out of the land of Ur, he didn't know where he was going. Abram knew that God had a plan, and Hebrews 11:8 tells us he obeyed and went. And that reminds me of the hymn that we used to sing here years ago. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. See, we live in a world where we want to know everything. We want to know what's coming next. We have a plan of what life looks like. Or we think we have a plan. Sometimes life just happens and our plans change. And a lot of times we do not like it and we do not have control over it. I remember being in the hospital with Chuck's grandmother, and she just found out that there was nothing the doctors could do for her. She was not going to be leaving the hospital, and she needed to say goodbye to her family. And she looked at me and said, "This is not how I planned it." I looked at her and said, "Nana, we're women. We're used to our plans being changed on us." Life happens, and there are times where things happen that we cannot control. Things happen that we did not plan for. Nobody planned for a pandemic. It just happened. Nobody plans for the storms of life. They just happen. Hebrews 11:13 states, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. There's a saying that states, God did not promise days without pain, laughter without sorrow, or rain, a sun without rain. But he promised strength for the day, comfort for the tears, and light for the way. In Matthew 6:25-34, the Bible tells us not to worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. So we can read the Bible, and we can see God's promises, his guidance, his miracles, but when the storms of life hit, or in my situation, a literal storm, we get amnesia. All of a sudden, we're focused on what is right in front of us, and that's it. We're no different than the Israelites who left the land of Egypt, led by God, and ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. I constantly think about the Israelites, and you know how you read the story and how they ended up in Egypt, and how God delivered them out of the land, and all the miracles and incredible things that God did for them. And then I think to myself, wow, how can they not know that God will bring them through each and every time? They were always grumbling and complaining, and every time something was difficult, they would whine about it. And we do that sometimes too, you know. A lot of times it's easier to see someone else's fault, but we realize that we're not any different. It's easy to trust that God is in control when everything's going well in your life. But the minute a storm starts to rage, we get scared, we get amnesia, and we feel lost, stressed, and fearful. We forget that we serve a big God, and we forget that God is who he says he is. We also forget that God is in control. So back to the night of the storm. As I got closer and closer to work and listening to worship music, I was finally able to make the connection with Scripture and my mind. I was having a conversation with myself, and I said, either God is who he says he is, or he isn't. And I know in my heart and my mind that, yes, God is who he says he is. So if I know this to be true, then why am I in such a panic? We can have all the knowledge in the world, but it has to go deeper than just knowledge. Before I got to work, I had a calmness that I had not had for the past 24 hours. I was calm and even rational. Any time that I did get a little nervous, I just kept reminding myself that God is who he says he is. A line from an older song popped into my head that says, sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms his child. By faith, we can have peace that the world cannot give, and the world cannot take away. John 14, verses 1 through 4, tell us, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the place where I am going. Verse 27. Says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So no matter the circumstances that we face, God will either protect us from it, bring us through it, or take us home. And I'm just glad that we serve a loving and patient God, a God who understands the human flesh and the battles that we constantly face in our minds. And in our times of weakness, He is our strength. We all face the different storms of life at different times, and there will be times when we forget that God is who He says He is. And in those times, I want you to remember Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Yeah, I find it easier to get into the presence of God by listening to worship music. I usually always have a worship song playing in my head at some point throughout the day. A lot of songs are from Scripture, and it's easier for me to remember a song than it is for me to memorize a verse. So an easy way to help you focus and seek God is by throwing some worship music on and just singing along. When the storms of life hit, throw on some praise music and sing and pray. If God feels far away, throw on some worship music and just seek Him out. He is always near. In the good times, bad times, easy times, hard times, God is right there with you. So I just want to thank you, Jesus, for this word, Lord Jesus.